And there appeared on them parted tongues, as it were, of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Words taken from the lesson today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. On August 5th, 1949, 16 firefighters were dropped into the Man Gulch. That's part of the Helena National Forest in Montana. They were dropped into Man Gulch to fight a raging forest fire. As they moved up to take their positions and do their work, the conditions rapidly changed, such that their very lives were threatened. Wagner Dodge was the foreman. He was the leader of the crew. He suddenly had an idea. He would light a new fire in a small meadow to burn away a large enough area so that the team could lie down in the middle while the destructive fire passed over them. Since the others had never seen this done before and were somewhat in a panic, they failed to understand, fatally failed to understand what he was doing. They did not follow his lead. Instead, they ran as fast as they could to the rocky ridge of the gulch. Of the 16, three survived. Wagner Dodge, who was completely unharmed. But he said, as the fire went over him, it lifted him off the ground a couple of times. He was completely unharmed. Not so for the others. Two members survived but were severely burned. The others died. Dodge escaped because he lit a fire to fight the fire. He lit a fire to fight fire. This is a type or an image of a spiritual reality that's very important for us. If we work with God to light a fire of divine love in our hearts, starting with our baptism, then no matter what raging temptations and evils the world, the flesh, and the devil may send our way, we will have a defense. We can avoid panic and anxiety. The wildfires of our time will not conquer us, and they will burn us maybe physically, maybe they'll kill our bodies, but they will not kill our souls. Why is this? Because souls with divine fire, the divine fire, are working with God. They're supposed to be. If they don't, they're going to lose that fire. We're supposed to be working with God to keep the fire burning and burning hot in the religion He established, to burn away all the combustible materials in our souls. Thus today's gospel, the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything, says our Lord. There was nothing combustible in the soul of our Lord. No way. And elsewhere it says in the Bible, God is a consuming fire. And this is what baptism makes possible for those who respond to the Holy Ghost, the love of God. Once, St. John Vianney, the Curie of Ars, he was asked why people go to hell. He would preach on hell a lot, especially in the first years as a pastor. He answered very simply, because they refused to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Because they refused to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, to keep that fire burning and burning hotter, to burn away the combustible material. So are we working with God's Holy Ghost to burn away all the combustible things in our souls? Dare I say, there's probably something there, huh? We all have it. Now for those who cooperate with the Holy Ghost, the words of our blessed Lord are fulfilled. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth do I give it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Don't panic. Don't have anxiety. That's what he's saying is possible with this divine fire. Think of the apostles. Before the fiery tongues of Pentecost, they panicked, they ran in the garden, they denied their Savior. But afterwards, nothing was too hard for them. Nothing. Think of St. Lawrence, the deacon martyr of Rome. He was roasted alive on a gridiron like a hamburger. And he said, turn me over, I'm done on this side. The flame that was burning in his heart was hotter than the flame under the gridiron. And this is what is possible for those who respond to God's Holy Ghost, the consuming fire of God's love. Now let's put this in different terms to see the importance of what I'm trying to tell you today. Modern man is more and more aware of the need for his spirituality. It's bandied about all over. It's on billboards now. Come to this session of yoga, whatever it is. People know they need a spirituality. They know they need an interior fire. For at least two reasons they know this. And first of all, man knows that he's lacking something essential without one. Something is missing. There's nothing burning away the combustible material on the inside. And second of all, he knows that something is coming. Some sort of destructive wildfire that will require a strong spirituality to endure. We're fighting fire. Make no doubt about it. Revolution is fire in the mind of men, says Dostoevsky. Well said. We're fighting fire burning in the minds of men when the fire should be burning in their hearts. It's burning in their minds. Bad ideas. But it's also burning in their passions. They're inflamed with lust and anger, which does not bode well for the future. And we know it. Whenever you deal with these people, some of us deal with them daily at work, it doesn't bode well for the future. We know something's coming, and we need a strong spirituality to endure it. We know we're missing something essential. We need his interior fire. Now, in light of the first reason, namely that we're lacking something without a spirituality, we can turn to St. Paul, who teaches us in the letter to the Thessalonians, that we are body, soul, and spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. Now, there's two possible interpretations of this description of us. First of all, the spirit can be taken as sanctifying grace. Grace is the life of the soul, and the soul is the life of the body. Adam was originally created in a state of grace in the garden. Thus, man in his original state, with this interpretation, was body, soul, and spirit. Man is incomplete, in other words, without grace in his soul. This is one reason why so many today long for spirituality. They know something is not right, and it's called original sin. Besides this, the rationalism of the last few centuries has been a dry, empty, and depressing experience for the soul of man. Now, the second of all, the spirit is commonly taken to mean the higher faculties of man's soul that are not wed to any part of the body. Namely, those powers of the intellect and the will that make him immortal. We have things in common with the animals, such as memory of individual things and sensation and movement. Now, these are functions of the soul wed to some part of the body. But the part of the soul in man that is purely spiritual, enabling him to live on after death when the body dies, can be called spirit. Once again, this touches on why man is looking for spirituality, because his human spirit, this human spirit is not sufficient. The rationalists, again, they tend to think of man as only a material being, very much like a perfected monkey. Although this is quite illogical for many reasons, the rationalists tend to deny that any part of man's soul is purely spiritual. Once again, man knows that something is wrong with this. When he satisfies all his animal and human needs and desires, he is still lacking something. Something essential. Something important. He needs a heavenly spirituality to give life to the spirit in man. Thus, the question now becomes, where is he going to get this spirituality? We turn to St. Augustine to find the answer. Wow, is he ever clear. He says, Let's use, first of all, his answer in the confessions. Our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and they are restless until they rest in thee. Everybody knows that line, and how true it is. How many millions of people have discovered that to be the case? We're not going to find rest until we rest in God. Elsewhere, he tells us where we can find rest in God, where to find the spirituality that is from God. He says, one possesses the Holy Ghost to the extent that he loves the church of Christ. One possesses the Holy Ghost to the extent he loves the church of Christ. Wow. The spirituality that God provides is found only in the church, is what he's saying. It's found only in the body of Christ. Now listen to these amazing words from St. Augustine. He says, another quote, to receive the Spirit of Christ, we must go to the body of Christ. To receive the Spirit of Christ, we must go to the body of Christ. Well, what is the Spirit of Christ? But the Holy Ghost, who is the life of the church. The Holy Ghost is the soul of the church. He is our spirituality. Again, what the soul is to the body of man, says St. Augustine, the Holy Ghost is to the body of Christ, which is the church. And he says, none lives by the Spirit of Christ, but by the body of Christ. Thank you, St. Augustine. Now, the meaning of these simple statements is truly profound. St. Augustine is pointing out that the good Spirit of God, the source of our spirituality, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, is what? He is embodied. He's in a body. He is not a disembodied spirit. When I want to speak to you about something, how do I do that? I find where your body is and I talk to you. I go where your body is located. Even after someone dies, where do we normally go to speak to them? Where their body is buried, we go to the graveyard. If they're a saint, we go to their shrine. We find their bones. We have their relic. We make pilgrimages to pray at the tombs of the saints. This is how God made things. This is how He wants us to seek out His Holy Spirit as well. He works in the church and through her and not without her. And this also means the spirituality from heaven is revealed and handed down. We find many approved explanations of this heavenly spirituality, the imitation of Christ, the cloud of unknowing by medieval author, spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius of Loyola, interior castle by St. Teresa of Jesus, the ascent of Mount Carmel by St. John of the Cross, introduction to the devout life by St. Francis de Sales, and so on. Notice they all have saint for the first name of the author. On the other hand, what are some examples of disembodied spirits? Poltergeists, demons, and souls of the damned are disembodied spirits. They're not in any body. They don't belong to any body that is unified by an organizing soul or spirit, as is the body of Christ, the church. Now, the point we're making here is essential to understanding the incredible peril modern man finds himself in today. Most people, sad to say, you can find them inside the church. This is the scary part of time we're living in. They're searching for a spirituality that is not of the Holy Ghost, not from heaven. And what is sobering and frightening is that they will find one. They're out there. Many are using these spiritualities inside the church now. Yoga is an example. Listen to this definition of yoga. Yoga is the Hindu practice of physical, mental, and spiritual discipline, originating in ancient India. The goal of yoga, or of the person practicing yoga, is the attainment of a state of perfect spiritual insight. They want knowledge and tranquility. They want peace, while meditating on the Hindu concept of divinity or Brahman. Now, does this not ape the true spirituality of the church, addressing the needs of man on all levels, body, soul, and spirit? Other examples are the Enneagram. That comes from Sufism. That's part of Islam. Reiki, that's from the occult. Zen Buddhism, centering prayer. 12-step programs are spirituality. That's not from the church. Transcendental meditation and so on. New Agers, as they're called. They pride themselves in making up their own personalized spiritualities, choosing what they want from all the different spiritualities of the world so that they can find one that suits them. And you know what? They never include this one thing. They never include the cross. They hate the cross. And that's when you know you got an authentic spirituality, when it has the cross. Now, what's going on here? Why is this happening? Let's be clear. These folks are looking for a spirituality that is divorced from religion. They're trying to separate religion from spirituality as if they can be separated, and they cannot be separated. To separate them is the same as seeking a disembodied spirit. That's what they're doing. They may even receive experiences that seem heavenly, consoling visions, locutions, spiritual touches, constellations. They will receive what feels like the working of grace, but this is all a working of some disembodied spirit that is imitating an angel of light. Experienced and approved authors like St. John of the Cross and the author of the medieval work, The Cloud of Unknowing, they tell us, they teach us, the devil can and does provide spiritual experiences. And that the devil has his contemplatives too. In other words, he can simulate the real thing on the level of the body, at least, through images, imagination, and constellations. He can't do it for long, he can't do it forever, but he does it to the satisfaction of most people. Even saints have fallen for this at times. Thus, the devil, a disembodied spirit, can satisfy man's itch for a spiritual life, at least for a while. Danger, be warned. The divorcing of spirituality from religion is the fundamental error. And once again, they do it because they're running from that thing, the cross. Religion is a word derived from the Latin religare, to bind. Think of a religious, someone who takes the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience and lives in a monastery and bound to a rule of life. They are people who belong to a certain group in the body of Christ, binding themselves to the cross, to a regulated life, in other words, to a life based on a rule, common life, and a schedule. This is the same for all Catholics, but in different degrees. Catholicism is the religion God has given to us. A religion that binds us to a rule, a way of life. In other words, it binds us to the life itself, the soul of the church, which is the Holy Ghost. We are under vows, folks. We have baptism. We have our marriage vows, our religious vows. We're under vows to reject the world and the devil. We are bound by a set of rules that show us what is best for us and what is to be avoided according to how God made us from the beginning. Thus, we have the Ten Commandments, the precepts and the disciplines of the church. Catholics have a scheduled life. Mass on Sundays, daily rosary, morning and evening prayers, Angelus 3 times a day, examinations of conscience, regular confession. We live an ordered, scheduled life. If you want peace, that's what it's going to take. The faithful Catholic strives to meditate daily. This regulated life forms a spirituality that only God can give. Once again, explained by many approved authors down through time, and it produces guaranteed peace of soul. Guaranteed, it will burn away combustible materials. Modern man, however, wants freedom from such regulation, such hierarchy and authority. No one's going to lead me. That's what they think. They're being led by disembodied spirits. Men of this new age want to be free to choose their own path. They do not want to be led. Ultimately, such men want to be free, as we've said, of the cross. As a result, they end up seeking a disembodied spirit to guide them, a power greater than themselves, and it will certainly guide them into all sorts of errors and problems and lead them to the burning, fiery pit below. Let us then take this lesson to heart, dearly beloved, and do only what the church has always done. Tradition keeps us sane. Our Lord said, the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you what? All things, and bring all things to your mind whatsoever I have said to you. That includes spirituality. It is apostolic. It's handed on. It's not made up. It's not, oh, I'm going to go get me a new spirituality. Don't do it. The Holy Ghost does not introduce novelties. He only tells what he has said, Christ. He brings to mind what our Lord has already taught, what the saints have practiced, and what the church has preserved. Once again, St. Augustine, one possesses the Holy Ghost to the extent he loves the church of Christ. Let us go to the body of Christ, the church, to find the Spirit of Christ. He, the consuming fire of divine love, will surely burn away all that is burnable in us, so that when the destructive fires of the world, the flesh and the devil come and do what they can, we will not be greatly harmed, if at all. Possessing a true and authentic, time-tested, and saint-making spirituality that saves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.